Blog Talk Radio.
This resolution that the committee direct the chairman to issue a subpoena for relevant documents and testimony under oath from Donald John Trump in connection with the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Gentlelady yields back. If there's no further debate, the question is on agreeing to the resolution. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed is no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, I request a recorded vote.
A recorded vote is requested. The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Cheney.
Aye.
Ms. Cheney, aye. Ms. Lofgren.
Aye.
Ms. Lofgren, aye. Mr. Schiff.
Aye.
Mr. Schiff, aye. Mr. Aguilar.
Aye.
Mr. Aguilar, aye. Mrs. Murphy?
Aye.
Mrs. Murphy, aye. Mr. Raskin?
Aye.
Mr. Raskin, aye. Mrs. Luria?
Aye.
Mrs. Luria, aye. Mr. Kinzinger?
Kinzinger, aye.
Mr. Kinzinger, aye. Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, aye.
The clerk will report the vote.
Mr. Chairman, on this vote, there are 9 ayes and 0 noes.
The resolution is agreed to.
In a stunning move, the January 6th committee has finally voted to subpoena Donald Trump. The move came in what was billed as the final hearing, where the committee focused explicitly on evidence proving that Trump and his acolytes knew full well that he lost the election and yet made the conscious decision to deceive the public, because their goal was to overturn the results of a free and fair election that they knew they lost. For example, here are some of the new pieces of evidence gathered by the committee showing how Trump's closest advisors intended to declare victory regardless of whether he'd actually won.
And what Trump's going to do is to declare victory, right? He's going to declare victory. But that doesn't mean he's the winner. He's just going to say he's the winner. The Democrats, more of our people vote early that count. Theirs voted mail. And so they're going to have a natural disadvantage, and Trump's going to take advantage of it. That's our strategy. He's going to declare himself a winner. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm. Also, if Trump is losing by 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be even crazier. No, because he's going to sit right there and say they stole it. I'm directing the Attorney General to shut down all ballot places in all 50 states. It's going to be no. He's not going out either. If Biden's winning, Trump is going to do some crazy shit.
Let's just hope we're celebrating.
Yeah.
I really do suspect it'll still be up in the air. But when that happens, the key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. Fuck you. Sorry, over. We won. Yeah. You're wrong. Fuck you.
Maybe.
I said fuck the Lord and let's get right to the violence. That's what I'm saying.
No point.
Time to start smashing pumpkins if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
The January 6th committee also laid out a number of instances in which Trump was directly informed that his examples of a quote-unquote stolen election were outright false. And yet, despite receiving all of that factual information debunking his talking points, still Trump opted to go out in public, including on January 6th, and spout those same debunked talking points for the express purpose of continuing to perpetuate the big lie and incite his supporters into storming the Capitol, which is precisely what they did only minutes later. And there wasn't even any plausible deniability when it comes to just how dangerous that same crowd would be. Here are just a few of the tips that the Secret Service had well in advance of January 6th.
The Secret Service had advance information more than 10 days beforehand regarding the Proud Boys' planning for January 6th. We know now, of course, that the Proud Boys and others did lead the assault on our Capitol building. On December 31st, agents circulated intelligence reports that President Trump's supporters have proposed a movement to occupy Capitol Hill. In particular, they flagged spikes in violent hashtags like We Are the Storm, 1776 Rebel, and Occupy Capitals. On January 5th, a Secret Service open source unit flagged a social media account on the Donald.win that threatened to bring a sniper rifle to a rally on January 6th. The user also posted a picture of a handgun and rifle with the caption, Sunday Gun Day, providing Overwatch January 6th will be wild. Later, on the evening of January 5th, the Secret Service learned during an FBI briefing that right-wing groups were establishing armed QRFs, or quick reaction forces, readying to deploy for January 6th. Groups like the Oath Keepers were standing by at the ready should POTUS request assistance. By invoking the Insurrection Act, agents were informed. As we all know now, the Oath Keepers did play a specific role on January 6th and had stashed weapons in Virginia for further violence that evening. Also on that day, the Secret Service was readying its security precautions for the President's speech at the Ellipse the next day. A Secret Service deputy chief instructed agents to add certain objects to the list of items that would be prohibited at the rally site, including ballistic vests, tactical vests, armored or not, and ballistic helmets. By the morning of January 6th, it was clear that the Secret Service anticipated violence. It felt like the calm before the storm, one agent predicted in a Protective Intelligence Division chat group. Another remarked how agents were watching the crazies on live stream.
In other words, the federal government knew. So to claim that the President of the United States wouldn't be aware that the people set to be present on January 6th would be violent is just the peak of bad faith. He knew because the entire federal government knew. And what's worse here is that he did all of this knowing full well that he'd lost. I say that because he literally admitted it.
This is the day that the Supreme Court had rejected that case. Mr. Meadows and I were in the White House residence at a Christmas reception. And as we were walking back from the Christmas reception that evening, the President was walking out of the Oval Office, so we crossed paths in the Rose Garden Colonnade. The President was fired up about the Supreme Court decision. And so I was standing next to Mr. Meadows, but I stepped back, so I was probably 2-3 feet catty-corner from the diagonal from him. You know, the President's just raging about the decision and how it's wrong and why didn't we make more calls and just his typical anger outburst at this decision. And the President said, he had said something to the effect of, I don't want people to know we lost, Mark. This is embarrassing. Figure it out. We need to figure it out. I don't want people to know that we lost.
And finally, one more point. Even after the violence had already broken out, still, Donald Trump refused to call law enforcement. And you'll remember that at the time, Trump and the rest of these Republicans tried to blame Nancy Pelosi for failing to call for backup. In reality, here's video evidence of not only Nancy Pelosi, but also Chuck Schumer and Steny Hoyer, all Democrats, desperately calling cabinet officials, military officers, mayors, and governors to seek some help.
I'm going to call up the effing secretary of DOD.
We have some senators who are still in their hideaways. They need massive personnel now. Can you get the Maryland National Guard to come too?
I have something to say, Mr. Secretary. Well, I'm going to call the mayor of Washington, D.C. right now and see what other outreach he has to other police departments, as Leader Hoyer has mentioned. Hi, Governor. This is Nancy. Governor, I don't know if you have been approached about the Virginia National Guard. Mr. Hoyer was speaking to Governor Hogan, but I still think you probably need the okay of the federal government in order to come into another jurisdiction. Thank you. Oh my gosh. They're just breaking windows. They're doing all kinds of, it's really that somebody, they said somebody was shot. It's just horrendous, and all at the instigation of the President of the United States. Okay, thank you, Governor. I appreciate what you're doing, and if you don't mind, I'd like to stay in touch. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Virginia Guard has been called in.
You know, I've just talking to Governor Northam, and what he said is they sent 200 of state police and a unit of the National Guard. They're breaking windows and going in, obviously ransacking our offices and all the rest of that. That's nothing. The concern we have about personal harm, personal safety, it just transcends everything. But the fact is, on any given day, they're breaking the law in many different ways. And quite frankly, much of it at the instigation of the President of the United States. And now, if he could at least somebody.
Yeah, why don't you get the president to tell them to leave the Capitol, Mr. Attorney General, in your law enforcement responsibility. A public statement they should all leave.
This cannot be just we're waiting for so-and-so. We need them there now, whoever you got.
You
okay?
You also have troops. This is Steny Hoyer. Troops.
Okay, so we have a little bit of time to make that decision.
Andrews Air Force Base.
All right.
Other military bases.
Thank you.
We
Thanks
need
all.
Active
Bye.
Duty National Guard.
How soon in the future can you have the place evacuated, cold, you know, cleaned out?
I don't want to speak for the leadership that's going to be responsible for executing the operations. So I'm not going to say that because they're on the ground and they're the
actors. Just pretend for a moment it was the Winnebago or the White House or some other entity that was under siege. And let me say, you can logistically get people there as you make the plan.
And the only notable absence, the only person not calling law enforcement, the only person not seeking to quell the violence, Donald Trump. I wonder why. And look, I could keep going all day. We have literal hours upon hours, days upon days of evidence proving Trump's culpability here. From peppering his supporters with a big lie despite knowing that he was spreading disinformation, to showing up on January 6th in front of an armed audience, inciting them to action, and then trying to march to the Capitol.
Yes. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is your host, Jerry Williams. We have Paula Alexander going to be joining us in just about 2 minutes. So we're going to be talking about Donald Trump, the January 6th committee, which had a hearing. They met last week. And what did this all tell us? Well, in a nutshell, they subpoenaed this whole thing with Donald Trump. They subpoenaed him. And so now he is subpoenaed, and he will have to show up to court, basically. And then not only that, but there's a lot of stuff happening with the FBI files that we're finding out with Donald Trump. So he has all these legal issues. And then not only that you have this type of stuff, but then you have the Republican Party going crazy over multiple things that they've been doing. And, of course, we need to talk about all this stuff, and including some of the newer stuff that's been happening, including with Herschel Walker, some great news about this guy that involves a police badge. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, we'll talk about that as well. But before we do that, we're going to be bringing Paula in. But let's hit some breaking news, and then we're going to get Paula. So let's do the breaking news first. Okay, here's what's happening. So some of the breaking news for January 6th committee. So the Secret Service has documents handed over to January 6th committee that shows law enforcement discussed capital threats. The documents provided to the House Secretary Committee investigating the January 6th in 2021 insurrection by the U.S. Secret Service showed that the agency and its law enforcement partners were aware of social media posts that contained violent language and threats aimed at lawmakers prior to the U.S. Capitol attack. The documents obtained were handed over to the committee ahead of Thursday's hearing and shed new light on discussions between law enforcement agencies ahead of this attack. The documents also showed that the Secret Service took into account assessments from partner agencies, including the FBI and U.S. Capitol Police, as they determined their security posture ahead of January 6th vote on certification. Despite the violent online rhetoric shared in these documents, none of the agencies gave a clear warning about the potential large-scale violence like what the Capitol unfolded or what unfolded at the Capitol building that day. In spite of information that they were sharing, no immediate threats being tracked at this time, one summary of the FBI intelligence assessment related to the January 6th that was shared with the Secret Service read that, however, the Secret Service was alerted to social media posts from sites such as Parler, which was then a popular far-right platform. We'll fight for Trump no matter what, one post flagged to the Secret Service. And read that when we say taking the power away from corruption, we meant it, said another post. The documents do not address other concerns raised by the committee this week, including inconsistent testimony from the Secret Service witnesses, who told the panel they had received no intelligence and violence that could have potentially threatened any of their protectees on January 6th, including the vice president. The evidence showed strongly suggests that the testimonies, it's not credible. Democratic Representative Adam Schiff of California said during Thursday's hearing. Now, following that hearing, Schiff said in an interview with CNN that the Secret Service, who came into play with this, said that there was no intimate factors on this. And, of course, this was the issue that was being portrayed at the time. Now, okay, I lost my place. Sorry about that. I was reading this as I was going along, and I lost my place for a second. In a statement, Secret Service spokesman Anthony Guglielmi, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, said that the Secret Service engaged in a robust intelligence sharing with its law enforcement partners before and during January 6th. So the intelligence was received from sent to multiple federal, state, and local agencies include are redacted. Examples of these communications that were referenced in Thursday's committee hearing and show that multiple agency communications, he said, though the Secret Service specific mission was executed without compromise, the unprecedented events of that day continue to evaluate that they ensure that the attack of our democracy can never occur again, Giuliani said. This is not only paramount to our institutions of government, but speaks to a very existence and purpose of the United States Secret Service. So this was a so we know at this fact that there was, you know, these different threats that were obtained. They knew about it. You know, all the stuff that was going on. As a matter of fact, they had brought this to the point of bringing it to the attention of the federal government. So with that said, they knew about this. They knew there was going to be some kind of serious attack, right? They knew something was going to happen. So that's where the part lies. Now, in another news statement here, this is what's really funny. You guys ready for this? So Donald Trump obviously knows about the subpoena. And Donald Trump has come out and he said, here's what he said. Take a listen to this. This is the funniest shit that I thought of here. I mean, what I've read, actually. So Donald Trump says, so it says here, former President Donald Trump has told his aides he might comply with a subpoena to testify before January 6th committee. Now listen to this. He says, as long as he can do it so on live TV, the New York Times' Maggie Haberman reported this. And according to Haberman, Trump has told aides he's not opposed to the idea of testifying before the committee as long as it's on his terms. The information was contributed by Haberman to the New York Times live coverage of Thursday's committee hearing. Some of his aides appear not to be enthusiastic about the idea at all. He should not, a Trump advisor bluntly told the Daily Beast. Most witnesses have testified behind closed doors, with the committee presenting clips prepared in advance to play at live hearings. Those with particularly notable testimony, such as former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson, testified live and initially submitted evidence in private. If Trump testified, he would have to do so under oath, risking perjury charges if he were to lie. In a series of live hearings in recent months, the committee has argued that Trump was central to the plot to overturn his election defeat in 2020. This culminated in the chaos of January 6th, when his supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol in a bid to halt Joe Biden's certification as President of the United States. He is required to answer for his actions. Representative Bernie Thompson, a Mississippi Democrat who chairs the committee, said in announcing the subpoena at Thursday's hearing. Trump has repeatedly characterized the committee as a partisan witch hunt while continuing to praise the rioters and push the election fraud conspiracy theories that inspired him. So in Truth Social Post on Thursday, he described the committee as a giant scam presided over a group of radical left losers and two failed Republicans. GOP leadership turned down the opportunity to select members of the party to take part. Some analysts expect Trump to challenge the subpoena in courts as a process that could take months. The committee's power to seek legal penalties against a former president if he refuses to comply with are unclear. If Republicans win back control of the House in November midterms, they are all but certain to annul the committee and cancel its subpoenas. Trump is under increasing legal pressure. There are multiple investigations around his bid to overturn the 2020 elections. The New York Attorney General is probing his business practices in the state and the FBI examining his retention of the government records after leaving office. So it is clear that we need to really understand how important it is that the Republicans do not take the midterms. For if they take the midterms, they will annul all the committee in this whole investigation. And that would actually allow Donald Trump to get away with what he has done. So it must be clearly said, to stop the Republicans is to help bring justice to our democracy of the United States government and its Constitution. All right, so with that said, there you go. Some interesting news story here for you. I thought it was really interesting. And so we're going to get right to it. We're going to bring Miss Paula Alexander in because she is the infamous Paula, right? We all love Miss Paula Alexander. We know that when she's here, she doesn't take the shit off the Republican Party or the Trumplicans who like to call in. So beware if you try to call in and act stupid. She will get you. All right, let's meet Alexander.
Break me down. You got a lovely face. We're going to your place. And now you got to freak me out. Scream so loud. Getting fucking laid. Bitch, but you're so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night. Stretches all down my back to keep me right on. Hey, you're crazy, bitch, but you're...
Ah, yes, Miss Paula Alexander, what you doing, girl?
Hey.
Hey.
Just going over some of the crap that I'm getting replied back to on Facebook. So, hey, I don't know if you saw my post, but I got a couple of likes from Anonymous today on a reply I did on Don Jr.'s post.
Oh,
some
cool.
Troll, yeah, some troll was talking smack about how the Democratic Party are all communists, and you know, my reply was basically, I've been a Democrat for 50 years, and I am not, I never will be, a communist. I find this hilarious, and put some laughy faces, and
oh,
I'll be damned if Anonymous didn't like it.
Yeah.
But that's what they're about. They're fighting Russia through hacking. So, which is
right.
not supposed to be a communist country anymore, but it might as well be. So,
oh, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, you know, I figured that's why they liked it, is because I said that I am, as a Democrat of 50 years, I am not and never will be a communist. Ha, 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 ha. Apparently,
yeah,
they like the fact that
good.
I said that. So. Isn't that cool?
Cool. It is cool.
I thought it was pretty cool. Anonymous liked my post. Or my reply.
That's really neat, Paula.
They must be checking out some of these Republican idiots' posts. They must be keeping an eye on them. And that was Don Jr. So, I'm sure they keep an eye on his stupid shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, they're definitely monitoring all those different people there, especially with the Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was Keckle. Oh, my God, I got liked by Anonymous.
Susan's like, yay, Miss Paula. Yeah, Anonymous
so cool.
To like some of her posts.
So, what do we talk about tonight?
So we were just bringing up, you know, some of the stuff, I guess, some January 6th stuff, all that stuff that's been happening. You know, we kind of reiterate what happened last week. And what's interesting is I never thought about that, but, you know, yeah, if I never thought of that in the perspective that if, you know, Donald Trump tries to prolong this hearing, the subpoena, whatever it is, that, you know, he could push it all the way back into the midterms, hoping that the Republicans win, and if the Republicans win, that they'll annul everything and just eliminate the whole thing.
Right. Right. And that's why,
yeah.
I mean, that's why we got to win. That's why we got to keep the House and the Senate and not only keep it, but get a couple of extra people in there to make sure that they can't void out whatever bills we want to sign, you know. So
That's kind of a worryment right there, because everything they worked hard for to put Trump where he's at, and then all of a sudden, you know, just people voting to eliminate it will really suck.
Right. I saw an interview. I watched, I watched an interview, a CNN interview. Now, I don't always watch CNN, but a journalist I know of that I follow, I watch on Twitter and Facebook, played a interview that Dana Bash on CNN did with Carrie Lake, who's up for is it the Senate or the governorship in Arizona?
Who is it, Carrie Lake?
And Carrie, K-A-R-I, Carrie Lake. And Dana Bash destroyed her. Because all she kept talking about, Carrie Lake, all she kept talking about, she used to be a Democrat. She voted for Obama. And she used to be a newscaster on one of the local stations in Arizona. And she completely switched. She fucked around and switched parties, went all Trumpster. And it's an election denier, and they talked about the border. They talked about I can't remember. Oh, they talked about the election. And Carrie Lake was just absolutely deflecting from all the questions. You know, we've done this and this. Democrats are this is what the Republicans are doing to try to win. For all the good the Democrats are doing, the Republicans don't have anything except to insult.
All right.
They don't.
Right.
They don't have policies. They don't have policies. They don't have plans except to eliminate Social Security and abortion. And they don't have any policies or plans or platforms. So what they do to try and fight with Democrats is they lie. They just lie. And Carrie just lied. She just lied throughout this whole interview with Dana Bash. And Dana Bash just crushed her. She would let her speak for a minute, and then she would interrupt her and say, "That's not what I asked you." And she would repeat the question. and Carrie Lake would, again, deflect and lie and say bullshit about the Democrats and about the border and about fentanyl. You know, just so everybody's aware, I don't know. You know, these are lies that the Republicans are telling. They're saying illegals are bringing fentanyl across the border. Well, apparently it's only like 1%. Because most this is what I read, okay? Most of the fentanyl is being brought in at ports of entry. In other words, they're being brought across the border on boats and planes. You know, like legal boats and planes. Legal. Ships, boats, and planes. So, and they get caught. So, it's a lie. It's a lie they're telling. It's fear-mongering. It's just absolute crap bullshit. And by the way, fentanyl is also manufactured within the United States. It doesn't even have to be brought in. There are people actually manufacturing within our borders already. So,
exactly.
You know, it's a complete and utter bullshit.
It is, man. And that's the funniest thing is that it's in the United States already. It's been here. And
right.
I don't think it's just because of their state laws, because what they say that immigrants are just druggies and criminals. They're all popping across the border just to get across the border. And there are people trying to get across the border for a better life. That's what they're trying to do. Not
right.
just because of being a criminal druggie. You're going to get some that's going to come across.
Right.
Yes, it's going to happen. But it's not like that every single one of these motherfuckers are carrying fentanyl or going to commit a crime
right.
or some shit. You know, that's how stupid they are.
Yeah. Well, I replied back to a comment today even on marijuana, on cannabis. I think it was on Sarah Huckabee's. No, it was on Asa Hutchinson's, our governor. I'm hearing an echo. Our governor's post, who said he was to vote against recreational cannabis in Arkansas. You know, and so one person wrote out, well, you know, pot smokers just want to be lazy and don't want to work and, you know.
2020.
Democrats are lazy and want to live off the government and smoke weed and be lazy, basically. And I love the fact of my age and my experience, because I come back with, well, that's funny. I've been a Democrat for 50 years, and I worked 45 of those years. So.
Dumbasses. Oh, by the way, I do have, I think I have a little piece of this Dana Bash interview with that Carrie Lake. Let me see if it'll pull. I don't know. We'll see how it sounds here.
Okay.
There was no evidence of any of that presented in court of law or anywhere else. That any of those things. Well, there's plenty of evidence. We had 740,000. No chain of custody. Those ballots shouldn't have been counted. Where is the evidence in that? Dana, you can find it. I'm happy to send it to your team. The problem is the media won't cover it. And we've covered this extensively, and what you just said has been only one side of it. The real issue, Dana, is that the people don't trust our elections. They haven't since 2000. I'm a reporter. I've been sitting on your side of the desk for a long time. And since 2000, we have Americans who don't trust our elections. In 2000, in 2004, they didn't trust the elections. In 2016, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, and Hillary Clinton, everybody on the Democrat side said the legislation has problems.
This legislation definitely has some of that, but I want to say in 2000, Al Gore conceded. 2004, John Kerry receded and conceded. In 2016, Hillary Clinton conceded, and we didn't see that in 2020. That's the difference. And so the question is, are you undermining faith in elections by saying that the 2020 election was stolen when there's absolutely no evidence to support that?
Dana, in 2018, Stacey Abrams never conceded. She still hasn't. I don't hear CNN calling her an election denier. We have the right. It's protected with our First Amendment to question our government and to question elections.
No question about that.
We still have the First Amendment.
Yeah.
We still have the First Amendment. And when you start seeing the media cancel people for questioning their government, that's when we have a problem.
I totally agree about the First Amendment. You and I are benefiting from the First Amendment as we speak. So I couldn't agree with you more on that. If leaders like you and President Trump are saying that the election was stolen, aren't you participating, contributing, even causing the idea of people thinking that the election is not safe and secure?
All right. So we're okay. So this is what this is Dana Bash interviewing Carrie Lake of Arizona.
We are going to make sure our elections are safe and secure for Democrats, independents, and Republicans alike. We want to know that our legal vote counted. We want to know the winner on election night. We don't want to be counting for 10 days. And we want everyone to know.
But
Jenna,
don't you want your vote to be counted?
Dana,
don't you want your vote to be counted? No matter how long it takes in 2022 in November?
Dana, I've been on the campaign trail for 503 days. I talked to moms and dads who are losing children because of fentanyl poisoning. I talked to retirees who can't afford gas and food. I talked to parents whose children are getting out of high school and can't read. We have serious problems.
I totally agree. I totally agree, which is why the election denial.
You want to have me on here, Dana. You want to have me on here and talk 2020 election, and you're the one who's...
I would never bring this up, ever, had you not been bringing this up consistently on the campaign trail. Let's look forward then. Will you accept the results of the election in your election? Will you accept the results?
Talk about the issues. I came on here thinking we were going to talk about the issues facing Arizonans right now.
We did.
You spent the entirety of this time talking about 2020. I think you're stuck on 2020.
I do. I have interviewed many, many Republicans that haven't mentioned it. I only did with you because this is the big thing that you are running on. My question is, will you accept the results of your election in November?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result.
If you lose, will you accept that?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result because the people of Arizona will never support and vote for a coward like Katie Hobbs who won't show up on a debate stage.
If you needed another example as to how Trumpism is still on the ballot now in 2022, you just got it. This is Carrie Lake refusing to commit to accepting the election results, and where have we seen that before?
Please lose it all in this election. Will you commit here today for a peaceful transferal of power after the election? And there has been rioting in Louisville, there's been rioting in many cities across this country, red and your so-called red and blue states. Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
See what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, that the ballots are a disaster. And
that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful
transfer? Get rid of the ballots and you'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation. The ballots are out of control. You know it. And you know who knows it better than anybody else? The Democrats know it better than anybody else. Go ahead.
And just like Trump was being honest about refusing to accept the election results in 2020, we ignore Carrie Lake's claims at her own peril. She is already broadcasting that she won't accept any result other than a win, and we should believe her. I'm not sure how many ways I can say this, but these neither Republicans do not care about democracy. They don't care about the Constitution or the rule of law or the very people they're supposed to serve. They care about themselves and their own pursuit of power and nothing else. Another telling point of this interview is that when Dana Bash asks Lake point blank why she continues to claim that the election was rigged or stolen or fraudulent with no evidence whatsoever, Carrie Lake claims that the, quote, real issue is that people don't trust our elections. But the reason that people don't trust our elections is that people like Kerry Lake are undermining faith in them. These people have been saying that people don't trust our elections so much that the only rationale as to why people don't trust our elections is this very talking point. Talk about circular logic. And by the way, yes, it is frustrating for those of us who value facts, but people like Kerry Lake know exactly what they're doing. She knows that she doesn't need to give specific examples of fraud because it's not about these examples. It's about perpetuating the narrative. She knows that by virtue of just repeating how distrustful people are, people will become even more distrustful. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy, and she's content to exploit it. The truth, though, is that there is no evidence to prove what she's saying. Remember, Trump's team brought more than 60 cases to court and only won a single case that shortened the cure deadline in Pennsylvania from 9 to 6 days. That's it. At no point were they ever able to actually prove a single claim that they've been making. And that was further disproven by Trump's own Attorney General, Bill Barr, who called Trump's stolen election claims bullshit. It was disproven by Trump's own cybersecurity czar. It was disproven by Republican governors and Republican secretaries of state. So the idea that Kerry Lake would continue to make these baseless claims anyway goes to show that it's not about what she's saying, it's about the fact that she keeps saying it. And by the way, when Lake then turns around and whines that Danabash is focusing on this, let's not pretend that it isn't worth focusing on. This is a gubernatorial nominee of a major political party refusing to accept election results in the United States. We should focus on this because it's as dangerous as it gets. This is Kerry Lake refusing to participate in democracy. This is a foundational issue. So if you care about climate change or health care or gun safety or abortion, having a say in all of that is dependent upon a healthy democracy.
All right, there you go. That's the part of the audio from Dana Bash's interview with Kerry Lake. All right. Yeah, you know what? Number one, she's very scary, but, you know, she was ignoring everything that she was asking those questions.
Exactly. Exactly.
She was going to fucking
deflection.
You know. Hell yeah.
She was deflecting from all the questions, and Dana pushed back. She kept, you know, she ran on for, you know, some lie for a minute or so, and then Dana Bash would push back and either ask the same question or ask it in a different way or what's the word I want to use? Basically tell her what the facts were, and Kerry would just go on lying. You know, and this is the problem with this. She's turned into an election denier. She went from being a Democrat that voted for Obama to a Trumpster that is now an election denier. And this is the crap. This is why the Capitol building was attacked. It's because of the big lie that the election
yep.
was stolen. And we can't have that. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. As a voter of 50 years, I wasn't always so involved in politics, but I've always been a Democrat. And I have never, in 50 years of voting or being aware of politics, seeing it on the news, watching it on TV, because back then we didn't have the internet or phones or whatever, you know, cell phones, that I have
right.
never seen such divisiveness. So many, I mean, there's always been lies. But not until Trump did I see an election be called stolen until Trump.
Uh-uh.
My vote
yeah,
counts.
It's weird because if you think about it, she was almost like Donald Trump in a sense because not only that she
yeah.
says that, but think about this a minute. She used to be a Democrat, voted for Obama. Donald Trump supported the Clintons, who he even claimed at one time
right.
he was a Democrat. And then
right.
he went over to the Republican side. So it's funny how they jump ship and then switch their minds.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's, this is, I mean, it's absurd. At my age, and as long as I've been voting, to say the election, to continue saying the election was stolen, when I know for a fact it wasn't, because it never has been. There may have been a few, you know, throughout the 50 years I've been voting, I'm sure there were a few votes out there that were, you know, falsified or, you know, whatever. But not to the point of the election was stolen. It's just absurd.
Yeah, it is. And the funny thing is they continuously still do say this shit today, that they're still continuously saying that it was a stolen election. I mean, they have not stopped saying it. You know, Donald Trump is the leader of this shit. We know that it was a legitimate election for one, because they all justified, the federal government justified it wasn't. I mean, even Trump's own people justified it wasn't a stolen election.
Right.
And then you have Donald Trump trying to ask for those votes from the Secretary of State of Georgia, which, by the way, that proves right there the dude knew he lost and he was trying to steal the election himself.
Right, right, exactly. Right. So, you know, it's because of him. It's like they said in the J6 hearing the other day. Liz Cheney said it. There is only one person responsible for the January 6th attack on the Capitol, and that person is Donald Trump. I mean, he went through, you know, Rudy Giuliani went to 62 courts throughout the country trying to get their votes overturned. And a lot of the judges were appointed by Trump, and they lost all but one. So basically, 61 courts in the country said the election is right, it's true, it wasn't stolen, and you don't have a case.
Right. Exactly.
So, it's absurd. Totally ridiculous for people. It's ridiculous for people to keep saying this, knowing it's not true, unless they're delusional and actually believe it.
And I think it's funny from Republicans, what I've been finding out, what I've been hearing, you know, out and about around our area. A lot of them are saying, Joe Biden's, you know, look what he's done. Our inflation is up. Everything has cost so high. It's Joe Biden's fault for this. He did this to our country. If Trump was president, we wouldn't have been doing all this. And, you know, it was better under Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. That's what I have to hear.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could always come back with what I say on the Internet. I mean, if you can get up your nerve to say it, just explain to me when a president could call up Walmart and tell them what to charge for milk.
Well, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
You know, can Trump call up Walmart and tell them what to charge for milk or bread or a can of beans? Hell no. Neither can Joe Biden.
I mean, these people are fucked up in the head, Paul. I mean, that's what's scary. And I even heard one say that Joe Biden and the government is purposely paying the farmers to not produce vegetables or produce meat to depopulize the American people. That
oh
this is what
God.
He's doing. He's paying them. The USDA is paying them not to produce, products.
Oh,
my
God. The conspiracy theories are, you know, got to have some common sense. Sit back and pretend that somebody else is saying that to you. Does it make any fucking sense? Hell no. You know,
it doesn't make sense.
Conspiracy. I mean, it's a conspiracy theory to say that. It's absolutely, well, you know, that's what I, but what you can say online. Personally, I say it's complete and total bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what they're coming up. I just don't get, what's going on. And then everybody, but that's what I hear. I hear that. And then, of course, you know, the most famous one that they always talk about, how President Joe Biden is, has no brain. He's senile. He's walking around like a zombie. He's fumbling around with his words and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the other thing I hear. I hear that shit, too.
Yeah, that's... It's so bad. He passed all these wonderful bills for America.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Well, and the proof is...
To help.
Jobs. Even jobs have increased under Joe Biden.
Yeah. More jobs have been created under Joe Biden than under Donald Trump, believe it or not.
Yeah, I think somebody had a meme out there on Facebook. Yeah, I do,
yeah.
Like that when I knew, like that, and I know there's a meme going around where they show the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden and the difference in between, you know, the increase of the economy and so forth and all this different stuff that Joe Biden has done. And so, I have seen that.
Yeah. It's kind of pathetic. I mean, it's not kind of, it's a lot pathetic. Yeah.
Somebody posted, said, "The clown of the world, Joe Biden, claims economy strong as hell while eating ice cream."
Dude, do you like ice cream? Do you like ice cream? Is it okay for the Democratic president to like ice cream? I mean, duh. Hello. That is so stupid.
It is, man.
Everybody likes ice cream. Everybody likes ice cream. So does the president of the United States. Oh, my God. How awful.
Stupid people, man. Yeah, I cannot believe these people.
I'm sorry. Am I interrupting you?
No.
Forgive me.
You're okay.
So just to reiterate, people, the election wasn't stolen. It's gone through court after court after court after court. The ballots have been recounted in certain states over and over and over again. It's never been proven. Matter of fact, it's been proven that the election was not stolen. Get your heads out of your ass. put your jammies on and go to bed.
Oh my God. And by the way, somebody wrote the same thing about the ice cream thing. This must have been something that Joe Biden did. Was eating an ice cream, was doing an interview or something. I have no clue. But anyway, somebody said that he's like, did you see that Joe Biden was out there sniffing children's hair and, was eating ice cream with 23 days left for the midterms? And, of course, he was talking about how strong the economy was.
Well, it is.
Children's
well, let me, as a history buff, let me give you a little bit of history, okay? In the past 70 years, there's only been one Democratic president who failed to balance the budget, and that was Jimmy Carter, and he's a wonderful man. But he failed the budget, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but somehow failed. I think it must have been because there was probably a majority of Republicans in Congress who voted against his bills. Every other Republican in the past 7 years, it's been Republican presidents who have failed us. They have raised taxes on the poor to middle class, lowered the taxes for the upper, well, what was it, 1 or 2% of the wealthy. So, in other words, so raising the taxes for the lower to middle class is so that money can be given to the wealthy, like they're not already wealthy enough. Okay? It is a known balance the budget, whereas Republicans run it. Like the two George Bushes. George Bush took money from Social Security to pay for the war in Iraq. Granted, that war needed to be fought. But are you really telling me that there wasn't money in the budget without stealing Social Security? Really? George W. Bush Jr. put us in the worst recession since the Depression of the 20s, of the 1920s. People were going homeless, losing their cars, filing bankruptcy, having their homes foreclosed on. Because of George Bush Jr.
Oh, yeah.
And then again, Trump lowered taxes on the wealthy and raised them on the poor. And God forbid, Joe Biden is actually raising the taxes on the wealthy and lowering it for the poor to middle class. He's also, get this. You know, I'm a senior, retired senior, and I pay my bills out of Social Security, giving us raises. Joe Biden is giving us raises.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yep. Jen's grandma is getting one as well.
Right. It's like, just if you want to figure it out, if you're on Social Security, it's 8.7% of what you make already. So you can use a calculator. I already figured mine up. I think mine is like, I think my raise would be like around $81, $82. Something like that.
So my friend, our friend who is a diehard Trumplican, who talks badly about Joe Biden all the time, is on Social Security and keeps complaining that Social Security should go up. And so she's probably going to get a raise as well, I'm sure. And I'm going to ask her, how did you like that raise that Joe Biden gave you?
Yeah, rub her nose in it.
Yeah. You don't like Joe Biden, but he gave you that raise. You're going to take that raise? Are you going to give it back?
And on the other, you know, it's, this is like something I said on a post the other night. Joe Biden wants to give me a raise on my Social Security where Republicans want to steal it. You know, and I've had people go, oh, that's not true. They've been saying that for years and never done it. That's because the Democratic Congresses have voted against it. And also, I'll go to YouTube or Google and pull up links, like pull up videos where some of these Republican politicians actually say it out loud, like Rick Scott, like Lindsey Graham, like Ron Johnson. They've actually said it in front of a camera, coming out of their own mouth, how they want to get rid of Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
So when I hear, when I see this bullshit online, this is, oh, yeah, they've been saying they're going to get rid of it for years and never done it, I'll literally say it's coming out of their own mouth and post the video. So,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Well, you know, what's funny is I was sitting here thinking today, Virginia and I were talking, and I said, you know what's funny is that the Republicans, or the even the Trumplicans today, because we were over at Friends of Our House, and they're Trumplican supporters as well, and they're gun-toting people, hillbillies is what they are, because they live out in the country, and the trailer that is on some land that – this trailer is so ran down. I mean, this fucker is being held together by, you know, the cockroaches that are holding it up. And they have nothing. They have a beat up, fucked up car that it's bad. I mean, what I'm trying to say is they have no pot to piss in. They're straggling, you know, trying to make it with money and so forth. These fuckers are out there talking about that with guns and everything, and we're like, how the hell is this shit happening to where that, you know, they're doing this? And of course, these people support Donald Trump thinking, and the Republicans thinking they're going to give them money to live. And we're just like, how do these people support these people thinking this shit's going to happen? And, you know, I just don't get that. And then I don't also get that they keep talking about they're going to come take our guns away. That's what these people were talking about. Oh, they're going to come take our guns. My. I'm waiting for the Democrats to take my fucking guns. And I was like, okay, let me ask you. I'm just going to ask you a question. They've been saying that for over 50 years. They're going to come take our guns away. And there has actually been a Democratic full Congress from the Senate and in Congress. If they were going to take your fucking guns away, why did they not vote them anytime when they had control to vote a bill to remove all guns? Because they could have done it. So why haven't they done it yet? Because it doesn't exist. It's a false statement. It's a false belief. And he said, well, you know, when that's because the Republicans stop them. No, it's not the Republicans stop them. It's that they don't, they're not coming to take your fucking guns away.
Right. No. I mean, fucking well, I, you know, do they have any AR-15s?
Yes. They got AR-15s, they've got fucking, he has an M16 automatic rifle. This motherfucker was decked out with guns. I'm thinking to myself, you have fucking thousands upon thousands of dollars of guns here, and these things are worth more than your fucking trailer and car. What the fuck,
you,
man? Why wouldn't you be using the money for something else?
You took the words right out of my mouth. They can spend the money on guns, and they can't offended for fixing their home or buying a decent car.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
And they're on the fucking government assistance programs. So what the fuck? I don't get. I don't understand why people are like that. You know, I mean, I would have used those. I would have sold every one of those motherfuckers to make money to feed my family instead of trying to figure out how they're going to make money to feed their kids because they have four kids.
Right. Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's they got their priorities all ass backwards.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Play the dumbass theme.
Yeah, you dumbass. You fucking dumbass. That's exactly, that's what it is. It's like, you know.
An idiot is attempting to reach you on your cellular device. An idiot is attempting to reach you on your cellular device. An idiot is attempting.
I mean, and I'm out here on their property, right? And I'm sitting here thinking. Yeah, I got my AR-15. I can't feed my families, but I got an AR-15 right here. I'm all stocking with bullets and shit.
Well, I never saw that movie, but that was apparently a line in the movie. It's where some hillbilly looks at these guys and goes, one of these guys and goes, "You sure do have a party mouth."
Yeah, so it's actually Ned Beatty. You know who Ned Beatty is? So Ned Beatty.
Yeah.
So they've got these hillbillies, got him fucking down in the woods, and they start fucking pushing him and stuff, and he falls down on the ground, and then they pull his pants down, and he goes, "You sure got a purty mouth." And that's what the guy tells him. He wants him to suck his dick, so he forces him to put his dick in his mouth. And then he ends up butt-ass raping him. And then, you know, you're like, oh, my God. But when you see that, and I'm thinking to myself, that's what a Trump supporter is. That's what they are.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
They don't have to worry about giving abortion, worry about pregnating a woman because they're out there ass-raping fucking, you know, victims probably who are men. So Republicans love, I think Republicans love to sodomize. I mean, I think that's the Republican, you know, main sexual position is sodomizing anybody, men, women, a fucking dog, a cat, goats, you know. It's kind of like, you know, so here's the thing, you know, like when you're out there in hillbilly land, do you know that if you ever noticed when sheep, for sheep herders, for example, you know, these guys that have these sheep on their farm and shit. You ever notice that hillbillies wear these long boots that go all the way up to their fucking kneecaps, right? Well, you know what those boots are made for, right, Paula? You know what those boots are made for? It's so that when they go to grab the sheep, they put their back legs in the boots, and that way they can't get away.
Oh, my God.
So that way when they try to buck and shit, their fucking legs are down in there. Yeah, that's what they use them for.
Oh, my God. And they call Democrats groomers when there's been so many pedophiles arrested. Republicans who've been arrested as pedophiles, including state campaign managers, Republican state campaign managers, candidates. There's a whole list somewhere that I have. I can't remember where it is.
Oh,
But
by the way, you have a few emails I was going to tell you about. That
okay.
Here you go. Check this out. This is from a guy. You ready for the first one? So this is from a guy by the name of Ted. First name is Ted. Ted. Hi, Paula.
Okay.
I'm going to read it like a troublemaker. Hi, Paula. I'm from North Carolina. I've been listening to the show, and I wanted to tell you that you guys need to realize that Nancy Pelosi needs to go to jail because, did you notice, she made a threat against the President of the United States, Donald Trump, when she said, I'm going to punch him out. She made a physical threat to the President. She should be locked up. There you go.
Okay. I got one better, Ted. Donald Trump made a threat to the United States of America and needs to go to jail. Nancy Pelosi is a fucking queen. Everybody said that she didn't call for help on January 6th. And there is video evidence of her on the phone calling for help like a boss. And the reason she was video, you know, people are going, well, why was there, it looks set up because why was there a camera there? Excuse me. Why was the camera at the Capitol building? Well, duh, first of all, there was a certification of a president going on. There were lots of cameras. And there was a camera in the room with them, with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Scalise, Kevin McCarthy, all these Democrats and Republicans rallied together that day. There was a camera there because Nancy Pelosi's daughter is a documentary filmmaker and producer. And she went there to film the certification of Joe Biden for president. That's why that camera was in the room with Nancy Pelosi. It's because it was her daughter behind the fucking camera. Like,
yeah.
Mike Pence took his kids. Other people took their kids. Her daughter was there, not only as her daughter, but as a documentary filmmaker. So, you know, that's just utter...
Yeah, and well, that's what exactly what they're all about. Why?
But I saw an interview with, I can't remember his name. I think it was on MSNBC today, with one of the politicians that was in the room while they were all trying to scramble and find out what to do and call for help. And he said that they all stood together. They were all one that day. That they were in it together, trying to save not only their lives, but all the lives of everyone in the Capitol building that day. So, you know, Democrats and Republicans tried to save the day, but it was Nancy Pelosi on the phone with two governors and the Attorney General Bill Barr trying to get help. Or whoever they
yeah.
Was. So she was a fucking queen boss that day. And Donald Trump deserved to have... God, I would have paid to see Nancy Pelosi knock his lights out. That would have been
oh, yeah.
fucking awesome.
That would be the best fucking thing.
So there you go, Ted. Donald Trump went higher and he tried to steal our democracy. He tried to steal my fucking vote. He tried to steal the country. That goes way overhead of Nancy Pelosi threatening to punch him in the face.
Somebody here named Jonathan had a question. He said, I just wanted to ask a question. Maybe you guys could help me to know the answer to this. Why is it that a lot of Trump supporters, I see them on the back of trucks, and I even see them wearing them as lapel pins, where they have the American flag and the Jewish flag intertwined with each other? Why do they have that?
Okay, say it again.
So Jonathan wants to know that that Trump supporters or Republicans are now displaying an American flag and a Jewish flag, an Israel flag, basically. And then he says that they have them on lapel pins in the back of trucks with flags. They intertwine the American flag with the Jewish flag or Israel flag. He wants to know why they do this.
I'm looking it up.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's actually, Jonathan, I just want to tell you, that's actually a legitimate question, not something stupid that somebody posts about conspiracy shit. You're actually asking a real question. Thank you.
Is that with the Jewish flag or the Star of David?
It's like that's the Israel flag. It's like the Star of David. It's blue and white with a star.
Okay. Trying to find it. Okay. I'm actually not finding it.
Yeah, me neither. I was trying to look for it myself, you know what though? I have to admit to him, he's right, Paula. Because here in Ohio, wherever there's these flags on people's vehicles, they have the Trump flag, an American flag, and the Israel flag or that Jewish flag.
Okay.
Quit chewing up, sir.
I'm still looking. I'm still looking.
Let's see. Why do they display?
I'm not finding anything. Have you ever seen one?
Yeah, I have. So I know he's right. So it says here, I've read something that says, so this is posted. Believe it or not, this is definitely a Republican Trump thing, because it says that it is, it says dedication of the American and Israel flags on the, Bima, whatever the hell it says, It says here how the Israel flag became a symbol for white nationalists. There it is. It's a white nationalist thing.
Okay. Oh,
it says,
my God.
As thousands have gathered in Washington on January 6th for the fateful Donald Trump rally that would end storming the U.S. Capitol, an Israel flag was spotted in the crowd flying alongside flags championing the QAnon conspiracy, the militia movement, or the third, the III percent, whatever the hell that is, 3% militia movement, and other popular right-wing causes. The Bible says if you bless Israel, you should be blessed, explained the protester waving the flag, repeating the Bible verse, beloved by the Christian Zionist movement. So we're a nation that supports Israel. Later, the flag was spotted directly outside the Capitol building during the siege, while another mass protester supported a black and white Israel flag sewn onto the parliamentary vest beside a pro-police, then blue line flag. This is hardly the first time the Israel flag has appeared at the right-wing rally in the United States. This has seemingly little to do with Middle East politics. The flag has flown alongside the Confederate flag at the Arkansas neo-Confederate rally and outside of apartment units from Manhattan to Jerusalem. It has been spotted at a straight pride parade in Boston and a pro-Trump caravan. While the Trump presidency is now over, the right-wing movement that helped define his time in office and the storm of the Capitol with their culture of conspiracism, grievance politics, xenophobic, scapegoating, and vigilante violence aren't going away anytime soon. For right-wing groups of the United States, Israel has become the symbol for a set of values, an entire worldwide worldview that, while sometimes grounded in concrete support for Israel and its policies over transcendence of geopolitical reality and takes on its own life. Indeed, different parts of the U.S. right use of the Jewish state as canvas to project their own fantasies of nationalists, Schultivism, Christian redemption, white pride, and anti-Semitic conspiracism. And none of these roles, in fact, turn out well for Jews, for Palestinians, or for the prospects of the just peace in the Middle East. It is well known that Israel enjoys firm support not only of the U.S. right, but across the mainstream political spectrum due to the strategic geopolitical interest, the profit motives of the military-industrial complex, and other factors. So, remarked then Senator Joe Biden in 1986, explaining that if there weren't an Israel, the United States of America would have to invent Israel to protect the interest and region. So, in a nutshell, it says here, when I get through the whole shit, that the flag is to be displayed as support of white nationalism and white nationalists of the free movement for whites and for conspiracies of QAnon. So they fly this flag in support of Donald Trump and a new government for our country. That's why they display it.
Oh my God.
I never knew that, did you?
No, so it's a racist symbol.
Yes, it is. It's like the KKK symbol, basically.
Right.
And it stands for basically the white, that if you see that flag on somebody's car, they support Donald Trump, white nationalism, and the American flag, and then they support a new government under Donald Trump, basically, is what they're saying.
Well, I just found it on a a site that's selling them. And you know what they called it? A friendship skin.
Well, like I'm sure skin. They do.
They called it a friendship pin.
You know, I'm sure they can't display it as a white nationalist fucking pin. Oh, my God. Here, I'm going to send you that link I just read. There it is.
Okay.
So you have that link. It's that fucked up, man. Well,
man,
Jonathan, I hope that helped you out. Jonathan, that actually brought that actually brought some information to us that we did not know.
So by wearing the pin or displaying the bumper sticker, you are announcing that you are a Trump white nationalist.
That's right. Yep.
In secret. If you don't know what it is.
Yep, it's like a secret thing, just like that one. Just like that little symbol they use for 1W, whatever it is, where one goes, we all go as one or something, whatever the hell that stands.
Right.
Stands for.
Right.
They have those on their bumpers too.
Wow, I did not know this. Wow.
This is good. This is interesting because this is stuff that we actually got to learn.
Right. So, more emails.
Oh, yeah. You got a shitload of them there, Chickadee. That I will tell you that you have been, man. So,
I strike nerves? Do I strike some nerves?
You must, because if they email us, I'll say that, then there is something that you've said. That is just like, it's definitely striking a nerve here. Here is one from one lady. Her name is Jessica. Jessica is from Florida. And she writes in, "Hey, I have been listening to your show for a while now. And I do want to say that first and foremost, I am a Democrat. I am so proud to support President Joe Biden, that a lot of people in Florida are very mixed and confused when it comes to politics. A lot of these people do not even read the truth. But the one thing that we need to be ready and prepared for is the tactics of the Republican Party. One thing that we are concerned about here is Democrats in Florida is what Ron DeSantis has been doing. And we do that we have to be really on guard with not only the immigration, but what he's about to do for people who are LGBTQ community. Let me explain to you this. I used to work at Disney World here in Florida. And I am a lesbian. When they found out that I was a lesbian and my spouse came to meet me one day at work, she came up to me and I hugged her and I gave her a kiss. The park went ballistic and they let me go. And they did not tell me the reason why it was, but I was terminated directly after I had kissed my spouse. And the only thing I know and truly think of is it was due to that reason. And then it was said to me that this person who let me go is a big supporter of Ron DeSantis. So let me explain to you that Ron DeSantis has truly poisoned a lot of people down here with the ideas and thoughts that gays and lesbians are freaks and disgusting. It has to stop because Florida has a very high population of gay and lesbians. I am tired of hearing the Republican lies And if I could ask you this question, how do you feel about the LGBTQ community and everyone in the schools and everybody who supports the pride of the LGBTQ community? How do you feel about them knowing information and knowing the truth that it is okay to be gay?
Oh, we support you, honey. Oh, were you done? I'm sorry. Were you done reading?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, that was it. Yep.
Jessica, we support you. I have many gay and lesbian friends. Some of the best friends I've ever had have been gay men and lesbian women. We support you. I'll speak for me. And if mm-hmm. I speak for you too, Jerry, if I speak for you too, Jerry, then let me know. You should be able to love who you want to love. Love is love is love. Period. It's a civil right. It's a civil right. And, you know, this is something, I'm a history freak. As a history freak, I know that the LGBTQ community has been around for thousands of years. I mean, the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans, they all participated in gay sex. They may go home to their wives, but they participated in gay sex with their slaves. And yet, Republicans want to try and, first of all, they're not educated. Because all of a sudden here in 2022, it's supposed to be unacceptable, but thousands of years ago, it was just fine and dandy. This is about nothing except control. It's about control. It's other people in power trying to tell you what to do with your life and how to live your life. And it's absolutely pathetic. We stand with you. And for her not being told why she got fired, it must be what they call a right to work state. A right to work state is where the company you work for fire you and not give you a reason. But it's pretty obvious by her story what happened. I'm surprised because I know when this all came out last year about DeSantis going to war with Disney World, that they fought it. Disney World was fighting it in court over gays and lesbians. And so, you know, DeSantis has gone to the point of even saying, quote, don't say gay, unquote, which is absolutely ridiculous. And so there would be a whole lot of us on Twitter that would literally put capital letters. You know, you can only put so many characters on a post. And under a DeSantis post, when he was fighting with Disney World, some of us would go, we just type out, gay, 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 and fill up the whole post with the word gay. Because he said, don't say gay. but we said gay.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong that they fired you. We stand with you, Jessica. I do anyway, and I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's pretty shitty what they did to you, and it's sad that, you know. And like I said, I have a sister. She was female, but she was male with male inside. She was trans. So she was trans. And then I have a nephew who is gay. And to me, it's sickening to see that's how these people are. And of course, with him being the person you're talking about that fired you, being a Ron DeSantis supporter, obviously, you know, he or she puts in political values first and beliefs, and probably it was trying to make a mockery of you. And unfortunately, you stood strong to it, and now you're rebelling against it. And I think that's great. And so, you know, I think that's something that I'm glad that you're doing is staying strong with that. And that's important. But, Jessica, stay strong. And thank you for listening to the show. So I'm going to go to the next one here. We have this one is from Tabitha. Tabitha is from Pennsylvania and writes that did you see in the news that former Paul Ryan, Paul Ryan, is claiming that he believes that Trump will run in 2024, but will lose again because of the demise of the MAGA. A lot of people are going away from Trump people, and even though that Trump has a small following, a large following, but small following, Tabitha, that Trump will lose in 2024, according to Paul Ryan. And he is a big Republican. So what is your thoughts? Do you believe that Trump will run in 2024? Do you agree with Paul Ryan?
I think he'll be indicted by 2024. That's what I think. And the law is, if you are indicted, if you are charged with a conviction, which that would be treason, you're not allowed to run for office. So that's what the J6 committee is for. They are building their. See, you have to remember that this isn't just about the J6 committee. The DOJ, Merrick Garland, and the Department of Justice, which is the number one police department in the country, besides the FBI, they're both, okay. Actually, I think the DOJ actually is slightly above the FBI. So, The DOJ is, you know, everybody says, well, why isn't Merrick Garland charged yet? Why isn't he in jail yet? You know, it's like that after time, after time, after time, after time. The thing is that a lot of the information that the January 6th committee is gathering is going to the DOJ to be analyzed and to be put in the records. And the fact that Trump hasn't been charged already is, you know, how old is this country? I think we're like 246 years old, and never in the history of our country in 246 years has a president ever been charged, been indicted for treason or a crime. They were trying to get to that with Nixon, but Nixon resigned. I mean, they were trying to impeach him. If he'd been impeached, they might have charged him. But actually, I think it was, what was the president after, not Johnson, one of the presidents after him pardoned him. So never in the history of United States of America has a president been indicted for a crime, much less treason. So they are gathering their information. They have to be really careful about what they're doing. They know that the MAGA people are out there. They know that the Trump supporters are out there. And they know that they're going to want to start a civil war if he gets indicted. They're trying to get all their ducks in a row and prove for a fact that Donald Trump has committed treason. Not only committed treason, but espionage by stealing the top secret records from the White House and took them to Mar-a-Lago. Yep. That is a crime in and of itself. So he has committed multiple levels of crimes. And so in order to get to him, they have to be able to prove and plan how they're going to do it and have fact-based evidence behind them in order to do it. So I believe that either he will be indicted or dead by 2024. That's what I think.
That's a good point. It actually was. I have to agree with you on that. Because that's actually a really good point. Somebody wanted me to ask if what you thought about, so this is from Jason, who wants to know, what is your thoughts upon Herschel Walker and his police badge?
Well, I found out about the police badge. I found out. Badge that he pulled out at the debate is a fake. It is a fake. It is like a toy. And it was given to him as a symbol, a gift, when Herschel Walker made a donation to a sheriff who was handing them out to a lot of people, apparently. So it's an absolute fucking joke. And by the way, there was another debate last night or today between Warnock. It was supposed to, Warnock, Walker, and somebody else. And guess who didn't show up?
Who?
Herschel Walker. So it was like two debates with Herschel Walker 2 days apart. And do not tell me that after the joke he pulled at the one, what was it, Thursday, Friday night, when he pulled out that badge, do not tell me that his campaign and the Republican Party and the GOP people told him not to show up because he looked like such a fool on the first one. I literally have a video beginning of the debate where the moderator is saying, "Let me introduce you to our candidates," and he starts off and introduces one other guy, and then he introduces, they're all standing behind podiums, and let me introduce you to so-and-so, and then behind podium number one, and then Reverend Warnock behind podium number two, and then number three podium was supposed to be Herschel Walker, who could not make it. And then there was, I think, a fourth one. So there was, they made a point. This is what's so hilarious. They made a point of setting up an empty podium where Herschel Walker was supposed to be.
Did they really? Yeah.
Yeah. He embarrassed the Republican Party. He absolutely embarrassed the hell out of them.
That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Why did he do that? He was trying to look important?
Well, you know, even just before he pulled it out, Reverend Warnock was, you know, Walker accused him of a couple things. And so Warnock came back and said, I have not done this. I have not done this. And most of all, I have never pretended to be a policeman. And that's when Walker pulled out the fake badge to say, I'm really a policeman. And he's not really a policeman. It was fake. Symbol from a sheriff that got a donation from him. So, yeah, he's not a policeman. He's never been a police. He's a pathological liar. He's lied about the abortion that his ex had. He's lied about his kids. He's lied about beating on his women. You know, the one woman said he held a gun to her head. He has even said that he thought about playing Russian roulette one time. Are you there?
Yeah, I was listening to you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. He is a pathological liar. And, well, and along with, you know, and everybody saying that he has that condition caused from being in the head so many times playing football, I can't remember what it's called. But there's a condition that football players get. I mean, they analyze their brains. And they're saying that he has that condition from being hit in the head so many times playing football. So he's got mental issues. So anyway, any more emails?
Yeah, well, he definitely has a lot of mental issues, especially being hit in the head. But for him to, you know, come out with that stuff, but apparently – somebody had said that, you know, I was reading through some shit, and they said that he got in some serious shit over, like, in a, like, something that is one of his comments about abortions. Honestly, what Republicans don't realize is that's a hot topic with voters, and it's not looking good for them when they attack abortions. From what the polls are saying, that people are not very happy with that.
No. This is the thing. You know, there is a woman who won't say her name, an ex of Herschel Walker's, that she said she has a receipt. She has a canceled check. She has a get well card that he signed after he paid for an abortion. And he's lying about it and saying that it didn't happen, that he never paid for an abortion. When she's got the receipts. Now, they are protecting her. She has asked to be protected, that her name not be brought into the media, because she's protecting her son. And the reason she's protecting her son is because the baby she got pregnant with after the abortion is also Herschel Walker's.
Ah.
Her son is Herschel Walker. So, and he asked her to abort that one too. And she didn't do it.
Oh my God.
And
I didn't know that.
And that, yeah, and that's apparently when their relationship ended. So, her name has not been out in the public because she's being extremely protective of her child, of her son, the one that she does have by him. Now, apparently, he is supposedly paying child support. But according to him, that child isn't his or doesn't exist.
Huh.
And it's,
of course
and
you
it's
don't.
The one that he wants. And it's the one, it's another one he wanted aborted.
Ew.
The man doesn't belong, he belongs in a mental ward, not Congress.
Yeah, I agree. From what I've read about this guy, yeah, you're right. He does not belong in Congress.
No.
You know. Well, Ms. Paula,
we're
at the end of the show, just to let you know. I figure I'll let you end up the show, and then we can end up the show and go to bed.
I'll be up for a while. The caffeine is still flowing.
You got to wear out the caffeine.
I got to wear out the caffeine. All right. Well, thank you for everybody for listening. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for support. Thank you for the negative emails and messages in the chat room, because you give us a chance to straighten your asses out. You give us an opportunity to provide truth where there is lies and conspiracy theories. So we appreciate all of you. Everyone, have a great week. If anything important happens during the week, we'll probably be back. Am I right, Jerry?
That is correct. Any breaking news? Does the committee meet this week at all?
No, they are actually, it is being set. You know what? I brought my plants in today, and I keep hearing a noise. There is a frog in one of my plants.
He wants to come
inside.
In, Paula.
No, it's inside. It's in one of the plants inside that I brought in today. I gotta go find that little fucker. Anyway, thank you. I've got to get off the air and go find the frog. Anyway, have a great week. Have a great week, everybody.
Amen, amen, amen.
Namaste.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
That's what I was waiting to hear. I was waiting to hear the salam and make them, because I know that's important. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Until then, come back and join us right here on Real Politics with Paul Alexander and myself, Jerry Williams. Until then, we will talk to you later. Have a good night. We'll be back if there's any breaking news. Oh, yeah. I'm going to leave you with a couple songs. Here's...
Yeah. want to see something strange. Come with us and you will see. It's our town of Halloween. It's Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween.